it seemed to be more the Red Wings. I don't know why, but the Sergei Fedorov and the Steve Yzermans and Brendan Shanahan's, I mean, all those Russians they had, that seemed to be the team that I despised the most as a Blue fan. I didn't really get into the whole Chicago. I think that was a little bit before my time and maybe a little bit after, but there was a window where I hated the Red Wings. So I kind of missed that Chicago phase.
Proud of you. Yeah. Chicago wasn't that good.
Yeah, I think it was because of that. But the Red Wings were always nipping at our heels. Of course, Steve Yzerman putting the Blues asleep there on that goal from John Casey. I mean, those are the moments that I remember as a Blues fan I hated the most. Coming into the league, being part of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you immediately shift not from what you grew up with, but who the team right now hates. And, of course, it was the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, we had some just absolute battles. Never forget, we lost to the Flyers, I think, game six, and we're leaving Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia, and we just started getting cans thrown at our bus and, like, shattering windows. I mean, it was just mayhem. So, you know, as a player, you kind of forget the childhood, and you shift immediately to which rivalry is important to the team you're on currently.
One of the big events of this show's history, and we used to have it all the time, and now it's been cut down to once a year, was a punch a Red Wing fan in the face day, because their miserable, insufferable fans used to take over the arena back when they were good. Clearly they were front runners, and now they don't show up at all, but we only see them once a year, so we really don't get as much pleasure out of punch a Red Wing fan in the face day as we used to.
That's right. You know, it's funny. It's amazing how the world circles back around. I actually retired a Detroit Red Wing. I got traded my very last year of my contract to Detroit. They got a jersey for me. They got me some really nice Detroit Red Wings stuff. And I literally think I just buried it into a corner somewhere in my house. It's like storage. I have not seen it since. So I don't plan on bringing that out anytime soon. But certainly the Red Wings is a great rivalry. Chicago, right up there with the St. Louis Blues team. It's going to be a fun night. I know they're struggling as a team, but you always got to keep an eye on Patrick Kane. He just always has been such a thorn in this Blues side. I don't care if the Chicago's in first. I don't care if it's at the bottom of the league. 88 has – there's something about him. Whenever he comes to St. Louis, he just has a moment where he just kind of disturbs the Blues. So always a fun player to watch. I love the rivalry. I love the hatred to some degree. I love the fact that they come to town. There's still that burning hatred for the Blues fans against Chicago. It's going to be a fun one tonight, Enterprise.
Joe, you mentioned circling back around. I want to do that literally and figuratively here. We were talking about fat athletes a minute ago, and we brought up plenty of baseball players, and they're boxers, and there are golfers that are fat ones. Who are the huskiest hockey players that you remember?
Oh, man. You know, hockey is one of those sports where you can't really be big.
It's hard.
I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, I'm thinking of baseball. What was it, Wells?
David Wells.
He was a moose. And, you know, of course, was it Butterbean, that boxer? Yep. He stands out to me. As far as – I can't say that because he's kind of maybe on the Blues roster right now, so I'm not going to go quite there.
I think I know.
I'm not gonna go quite there.
Dustin Byfuglien's a big dude, isn't he?
Okay, that's a good one. Dustin Byfuglien's he's a giant. What's amazing about Dustin too is that as big as he is, he finds a way to still get around. I mean, he gets around. He makes it from point A to point B quite a bit. You know, one just comes off top. You know, Fatty Patty, Pat Maroon. I mean, I got to give him a little love here, a little shout out. Pat was always a big kid. Even in the National Hockey League, and he's actually kind of toned up quite a bit, I think, in his professional career. But I remember growing up, and of course, he went to Oakville, and I was just a little bit north in South County. But he was always just a very thick kid with not a lot of muscle tone. You know, we grew up in South County. I mean, we went to Hardee's on Friday nights. We took our stops at Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, that's kind of what the routine was. I mean, it was after games late. Our practices late, you know, of course, ice time was very limited growing up here in St. Louis. So we always got the kind of the shaft as far as the older you are, the later your practices were. So we'd be practicing 9:30, 10, 11 o'clock at night on weeknights sometimes for the junior Blues and stuff. And of course, you're starving after practice. I mean, where's the only fast food joint that's open at 11:30 midnight at night is Steak and Shake. So we go over to Steak and Shake, and we get those Crisco melts, or what are those things called?
Crisco melt.
Oh, my God. We were dumb. We like three or four of those, some French fries, large chocolate milkshake, and I hit it a little bit better than Patty, but all in all, Pat's a big boy.
And didn't he get a T-shirt out of that, too? Chubby but effective, I think he was chubby selling those things.
Yeah, Meat has a shirt like that he wears it all the time.
Shelby would have mentioned. Everyone should have at least. Because you know what? The thing is, people go through phases, but we've all been through a chubby phase. So I think we could all relate to one chubby phase or two in our careers or in our lives. So, yeah, he did have that shirt, and that spawned on in the Winnipeg first-round series last year, where he was just mouthing off to the bench, and they were mouthing off to Patty, and they kept calling him chubby, and they call him overweight, and he would just – I remember one time they caught it on camera. He goes, I may be chubby, but I'm effective either way, and it kind of caught, but it was funny.
Beautiful. Joey, great stuff as always. Thank you so much, and we'll see you tonight.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
See you later. That's Joey Vitale. You can hear him tonight with Chris Kerber as the Blues take on the Blackhawks here on 101 ESPN, your Mitsubishi Electric pregame show at 6, and then the BMW of West St. Louis pregame skate at 6:30 before Kerbs and Joey bring you the action at 7. Then don't forget to stick around afterwards for the postgame show and the fourth period here on 101 ESPN. We have Matt back for day two of the 4 o'clock fight next on 101 ESPN. We were supposed to talk to Joey Vitale several minutes ago. We were supposed to start this conversation, but we were talking about our all-time favorite fat athletes and fat kid meals.
Happens.
So it does, and we kind of went a little bit overboard with that. So Joey Vitale on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, we do apologize for getting to you late. How are you doing today?
Randy, doing good, man. Saw you a little bit briefly this morning at the rink, and looking forward to a good Chicago Blues matchup here tonight in St. Louis.
What a friendly guy Marco Scandella is, huh?
Oh, over the top friendly, and he looks like he's just so comfortable right away. I mean, you see a lot of times in the National Hockey League, and probably any sport for that matter, when you get someone from a different team, usually there's an awkward transition, even whether you're a veteran or a rookie, especially if you're a rookie, but even if you're a veteran, there seems to be some sort of awkwardness given with these players coming to a new room, new players, new system, new city, everything's brand new. But he has just kind of slid right in and asserted himself, and the fact that he's playing such great hockey, I think on top of that, has really given him a lot of confidence.
Is that one of the biggest things when you look at the recent turnaround? We all know the skid that the Blues were on. They dropped 5 in a row. Now they've won 4 straight, looking for a 5th one tonight against the Blackhawks. Joey, do you look at the play and maybe the calming presence there, especially after the loss of Bouwmeester? How much do you think Scandella's play has to do with the recent success?
I think it has a lot to do with the recent success. He comes in here. You know, Doug Armstrong spoke about him this morning, the fact that, you know, he's bounced around the league quite a bit. I'm not going to say quite a bit, but a few different teams. But he started out in the West with the Minnesota Wild, and before he jumped over to the East with the Buffalo Montreal. You know, Doug Armstrong made an interesting comment this morning saying that he feels like he's played his best hockey when he's in the West, especially in the Central Division, referring to his time with the Minnesota Wild. And I think that the style of play for Marco, big defenseman, he suits that Central Division very well because he can play that heavy style, and he knows how to play that very predictable, move it up north kind of style of hockey. There's not a lot of transition. There's not a lot of fancy play. There's not a lot of fancy setups. It's just straightforward hockey. I think that's the area where he can really thrive. You know, Doug Armstrong used the quote this morning, he ends plays very quickly with his stick. And you see that all over the ice, not only in the defensive zone, but through the neutral zone. He's been pinching very well, but he's never putting himself out of position. Not to mention, I mean, coming in here and playing with Colton Parayko for any defenseman in the National Hockey League, to put that in perspective, I mean, that's like a forward getting traded to the Edmonton Oilers and thrown right on the line with Connor McDavid. I mean, that's the equivalent of how good Colton Parayko as far as a shutdown defenseman in the National Hockey League is. So it's been a win-win, certainly for the Blues and Marco.
So with that deal made, that was what the Blues did prior to the trade deadline. They didn't do anything else. We were wondering if they were going to, and they feel comfortable with the team they have. Are you comfortable with the team as it is right now, knowing Tarasenko is going to be back here in a few weeks?
You know, I am. I definitely am. I kind of expected the Blues to go about their business exactly the way they did yesterday, assuming one thing. And the X factor, of course, in that whole day yesterday was, where is Vladimir Tarasenko at? Of course, Doug Armstrong and everyone knew ahead of time before it was revealed, but it appears that Vladimir Tarasenko will be back. He will be back rather in the near future. It sounded like, you know, Doug Armstrong didn't have an exact timetable there, but as far as Someone asked him, is he more comfortable with the 3 games before playoffs or 20 games? And he said, of course, 20 games. Now, we only have 19 left in the season for the St. Louis Blues. But the fact is that I think that he was saying he would like to err on the side of more around that 20-game mark. Will he get 10? Will he get 12? Do we expect him here back in the early to mid-March? I think that's kind of, you can assume that. So I think the fact of the matter is that Doug Armstrong couldn't do anything because his hands were tied with the salary cap, the fact that Vladimir Tarasenko will return before playoffs. So that is great news for the St. Louis Blues. And I love the decision. I love the fact that this team has all the pieces it needs, quite frankly, to repeat. I mean, you got the goaltending, certainly, with both goaltenders and Jordan Binnington, Jake Allen. That's number one. That's probably the most important thing. Look across the National Hockey League. I mean, coaches are getting tossed and canned left and right, but so much of it has to do with the fact that the goaltenders are having bad years. So goaltending number one, you add Marco Scandella to the back end. That has really solidified this back six group. And now you add Vladimir Tarasenko, a natural sniper, to an already very deep lineup. The work ethics there, the systems in play, the discipline to play all three zones, defend first hockey. Again, the Blues have all the pieces in place right now, and I think you add number 91, hopefully in a few weeks, and it's just going to ramp it up that much more.
You grew up in St. Louis. You grew up a Blues fan, but you also played in the NHL. So when you played against the Blackhawks, did you literally and figuratively see red? Did you dislike the Blackhawks because of where you grew up?
You know what? It's funny, Randy. I think Curbs was talking to me about that this morning. He was talking about the rivalry between the Blues and the Blackhawks. You know, of course, you guys remember when I grew up in New York.